be with you again. I've always said when I come somewhere more than once, they're glutton for punishment. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And that first song that the choir sang, I relate. I was in darkness, as everybody is. And He not only saved my life, but He saved my soul. Gave me a new life. This morning, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you'll never come to the house of God without the Word of God, but I want you to turn, if you would please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I've entitled this particular message, The Fight, Finish, and the Faith. The Fight, the Finish, and the Faith. Paul met a young man by the name of Timothy, and God inspired him to write two letters to him because he knew that life was going to be hard in ministry. God called Timothy preach His Word, just like He called Paul there on that road to Damascus. Did you know that Paul had no intention of preaching Jesus? In fact, he was on his way to gather up a bunch of Christians that love their Jesus. And he said, they ain't nothing about that Jesus. I'm going to bring them back to Jerusalem. We're going to put them on trial, and some of them are going to be executed. And God said, Saul, that's a call from God. Saul, why persecutest thou? It's hard for thee to kick against the bricks. Remember what Saul said? Who art thou, Lord? And as he went on his way, got saved. Then as he's on his quest in preaching Christ, he meets this young man, Timothy. Had a mother and a grandmother that loved the Lord. That's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning. If you'll look with me to verse number 6 and 7. God inspires Paul to say, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. Finished my course. I have kept the faith. Father, again, we thank You for the day. It's been a good day already. We thank You for the good songs that we've sang to glorify You, to praise You, and lift You up. Thank You for Brother Kenny. Thank You for his faithfulness and his steadfastness. I thank You for each one that has come today to listen to the Word of God. And I pray, as he mentioned, that You'd plant the Word of God deep into our hearts, and that the wicked one not be able to take it from us quickly. Lord, if there's one here that's outside of Your grace, that today would be the day that they would repent, trust Jesus as their Savior, and be gloriously born again into the family of God. Lord, I pray for each of your people that are here this morning, and Father, that you will help them to see the Word and believe the Word. Now, Father, I ask that you please empty me of all of myself and that you replace that with the power of thy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And for Amen. Paul had spent most of his adult life in loving and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had this young man that he trained to be a fellow soldier, a dear friend, one that he taught by example. And here's the question I want to ask, and I'll ask you it at least three times this morning. Will our example be an encouragement to those coming behind us? Will our example be an encouragement to those coming behind us? I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept faith. When Paul said that he had fought, he didn't say, I fought a fight. He didn't say, man, I gave it to him up one side and I gave it to him down the other. No, he said, I fought a good fight. I fought a fight that was one like no other fight to be had. And it's one who will stand up for Jesus Christ, who will proclaim the cross, who will tell other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some people have said, well, I'm not a preacher. I can't do the Word of God like you preacher. Can you tell somebody what happened to you? Can you tell somebody what happened when you got saved? Can you tell somebody, I knew I was a sinner. I knew that I had no hope in this life. And listen, I tell you, we're living in a time, I believe, Brother Kenny, like never before, where there has been no hope. Now abideth these three: faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity. The greatest of them. But don't forget about hope. Listen, a lot of people have lost hope. A lot of people have no idea that they can genuinely be born again, be set free, and live in Christ. Many of you this morning have experienced that wonderful salvation in Jesus Christ. And listen, I don't care if you can't memorize John 3:16. Can you tell people what happened to you? Because if you can't, then you need to come this morning and you need to repent and trust Christ as your Savior and let Him be your Almighty God. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. He wasn't the only one that God had inspired for any of this. The Bible says in the book of Jude, verse 3. Now I know some of you are saying, well, what chapter? Well, there's just one. Jude, verse 3, the Bible says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you to earnestly contend. That means that it's a constant struggle, but you need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Well, God, why on earth would you write something like that to Jude? He tells us plainly in verse 4. He says, For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. That word lasciviousness just simply means something that's fake and something that's seriously flawed. That's not the gospel of Christ. But not only do they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, but they also denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. He fought a good fight. A fight in Christ, for Christ, through Christ. The Lord Jesus. There are some that they don't fight a good fight. Several years ago in Long Beach, California, a fellow went into a fried chicken place. He bought a couple of chicken dinners for himself and the date that he was going to have one late afternoon. The young woman at the counter inadvertently gave him the proceeds from the day, which was a whole bag of money. Yeah. She gave him that bag of money instead of the chicken. And so after driving to their picnic site, the two of them sat down to open and enjoy a meal of some fried chicken together. And they discovered a whole lot more than chicken when they opened up the bag. There was over $800 in it. But he was unusual. He quickly put the money back in the bag and they got into the car and drove all the way back to the chicken place. You see, Mr. Clean got out, walked in, and he became an instant hero. By then, the manager was frantic. The guy with the bag of money looked at the manager and said, "I want you to know I came by to get a couple of chicken dinners and wound up with all this money. Here." Well, the manager, he was thrilled to death, as you can imagine. He said, "I'm going to call the newspaper. I'm going to have your picture in the local newspaper. You're the most honest man I've ever seen in my life." To which the guy quickly responded, "Oh, no, don't do that." Then he leaned in closer to the manager and he said, "See, the woman I'm with is not my wife. She's somebody else's wife." He didn't fight a good fight. And there might be some here this morning that you're in a contention, you're in a battle, you're in a fight, but it's not a good one. It's not a good fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something all about the world. It's something all about things that don't matter in this life and certainly don't matter in eternal life. And so God wants you to fight. He wants me to fight a good fight. One that has some eternal value. And listen, when you fight a good fight, you take a stand for truth. But when you do, you'll be surprised who opposes you. Hold your finger here in 2 Timothy. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11. We're talking about don't be surprised who will oppose you. Look with me in verse 22. Paul is confronting some of these folks in Corinth. And he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten of rods, once was I stoned, thrice was I shipwrecked. A night and a day have I spent in the deep, in journeyings often. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, and get this, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, here it is, in perils among false brethren. Ow. When you're in a good fight for Jesus Christ, don't be surprised who opposes you. Somebody that you may have considered your brother, your sister in Christ, somebody that you thought was a good Christian. I'll tell you, Brother Kenny, my shoulders go like this when somebody tells me, oh, he's a good Christian man. I hope so. Because there's a lot of false brethren out there, and they would love to deceive you in any number of ways. So when you fight the good fight of faith, don't be surprised who opposes you. You have no idea who's going to stand with you until standing time comes. Opposition doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. Often it is evidence that you're doing something right. If we allow ourselves to be deterred from doing anything unless we have complete approval of everybody around us, it's certain that we're never going to accomplish anything that has any value. Rather than being discouraged by opposition, we should take comfort in God's faithfulness and just keep right on doing what's right. I want to ask you that question again. Will our example be an encouragement to those coming behind us in fighting the good fight of faith? You say, well, everybody's doing their own thing. And I kind of feel like Elijah. I'm just the only one left. Well, sometimes you might be. But I want you to see something. Go back to 2 Timothy 4 if you haven't already. 2 Timothy 4, that's where we started. Look at verse number 10. Paul had an entourage that was with him at one time, Demas being one of them, and now he says, Demas has forsaken me. Having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica. Now, I can't think of a worse place to go back to than Thessalonica. They ran Paul out of there. He had another man named Crescens. He left and went to Galatia. And then look at that third guy. There's some controversy about this passage and this phrase when he says, Titus unto Dalmatia. Titus? The next book over from 2 Timothy is Titus. Could this be the very same one that God inspired to write one of the books of the New Testament? I think it is. Some say, no, this is a different Titus. But here are three men that were with Paul, stood with him until the going got tough, and they all forsook him. Now that'd be a pretty rough blow, wouldn't it? Yeah. But then look at verse 14. He's giving Timothy a warning. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And at my first answer, no man, did you see that? Nobody, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. You don't know who's going to stand with you until standing time comes. And sometimes everybody might leave you. But I want you to see the compassionate nature that Paul had. Verse 16, that last sentence, he says, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. God, don't hold that against them. Show your mercy to them, O Father. But then I like verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I can tell you, somebody who will stand with you when everybody else is gone, Christ, the Lord Jesus, will stand with you and He'll deliver you. Do you believe that? Really? Oh, come on. You really believe that? Yeah. Amen, preacher. When everybody else is gone, when you look around, we're behind you, preacher. We're way behind you. Yeah. There's one who will never be behind you. He'll stand with you. Jesus. And I'd rather have Jesus standing with me than to have the full force of the United States government. Yeah. I'd rather have Jesus standing with me than every preacher in the world. Because He knows how to deliver you. Christ. So let me ask you a question. Will our example be an encouragement to those coming behind us? Can be. The Lord wants it to be. I think deep down in your heart, everyone here wants to be. You want to be an example to those that are coming behind you. But look in chapter 4 again, verse 7. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've just completed the purpose that God has for me. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to fulfill the purpose that God has for you? You said, well, I just don't know what it is. If I knew what the will of God was, I would do it. And listen, it's not the unknown will of God that bothers me. It's the will of God that I already know from the Word of God that really bothers me. And that's what I'm having trouble with. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. That's part of God's purpose for you. That's His will for you. Throughout the Word of God, we can find different places that you can discover the purpose that God has for you. And you can finish your course. Paul was undeterred by all the opposition, the persecution. You want to know why? Because he knew who he believed. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know who I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." And listen, in September of 1976, I trusted Christ as my Savior. He forgave me. He gave me a new life. And listen, Brother Kenny, I couldn't have found the book of John the next day. But I know this. I know whom I believed. Because He did something for me that no one else could do. He cleansed my heart, gave me a new life, took me from darkness, put me into light, and He saved me. And you know, I wasn't saved but one day. And I knew it. I knew it because I knew who it was that saved me. I can't get over these folks that say, "Well, you've got to trust the Lord, but you've got to be good. Paul said, as Brother Kenny pointed out this morning, "In me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing." Nothing good about me. Oh, you gotta go to church every Sunday. How many in here have been to church every Sunday? Got a bunch of honest people in here, brother. Amen. My wife and I met a young man in Cabot. He came to our church a couple of times. Nice guy. And he had opened up a store there in Cabot. After he didn't come back, I went by to see him. Or we might have run into him, I forget. And he said, "You know, I've been to 2 seminaries." Okay. "And I just can't take that Baptist theology." I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He says, "I just can't see once saved, always saved." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "You know, that eternal security that you believe." And I say, "I don't understand your question." And by that time, he's got this confused look on his face because he don't know anything else to say about us. And so then I say, "Do you mean, are you talking about when I trusted Christ in 1976 that I got eternal life?" "Yeah. I'm guilty." "Do you mean when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior and He came into my heart through the Spirit of God and gave me eternal, everlasting life? Yes, I do believe that. And he said, oh, well, we believe that. I said, you can't possibly believe that if you believe what you just said that you didn't believe. I know whom I've believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Don't let anybody try to tell you that there's more ways to heaven, that there's just, oh, this wide road you can go on. No, that leads to hell. That's that song you just sang. You got to go by the cross or you're not going to go. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In fact, you know what in the Greek language what that phrase no man means? It means no man cometh unto the Father. Means the same thing in English. You don't have to be somebody that's educated. I had a guy tell me, he says, this brother, he does his devotions every morning in Greek. I said, well, that's too bad. He ought to learn how to read English. Listen. Don't let the world out here try to tell you you can't know until you get to heaven. Listen, if you're going through life thinking that you can know after you die, it's too late. It's too late. Paul said, I have finished my course. This was not the first time that God inspired Paul to say that phrase, I finished my course. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 22, he said this, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. You see, Paul didn't have a life of bed of roses. When he fought a good fight, he fought. But it was a good fight. And he finished his course. Is what you're doing now helping the gospel of Christ or hindering the gospel? Will you finish your course with joy? Joy. One of the Greek Olympic Games was a race in which the contestants carried torches, and the winner was the one that finished with this torch still lit. The Christian's desire ought to be that he will finish his race, finish his course with this flame still burning strong in Jesus. Here's that question again. Will our example be an encouragement to those coming behind us? And then last, in verse number 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. Kept its faith in Christ. For God so loved the world. For God gave us Jesus. For God did everything for us. He did for us what you could not do for yourself. He kept the faith of the gospel. He kept the faith of knowing how to be saved. He kept the faith in understanding that if you're going to heaven, you're going to because of Christ, not what you've done for Christ. You're going to heaven for what Jesus did for you, not what you can do for Him. He kept the faith. Kept the faith of the local church and the ordinances that we hold dear as Baptists. Now listen, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Brother Kenny probably wouldn't want me to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm not ashamed of Jesus, but I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I'm not ashamed to know that there was just one church that Jesus started on that mountain in Galilee. And He set in the church first apostles. And then He gave some precious ordinances for us. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, "Buy the truth and sell it not." That's not for sale. This is not for sale. He kept the faith, not only of the gospel, but He kept the faith of the Lord's church. And listen, there's some men who can creep in unawares who might say, and we've had them down there in Cabot. We had them in Missouri. We had them in Texas. Listen, we give a lot of money. Are you saying we can't be a member of your church because you want us to be baptized? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying Jesus wants you to be baptized according to the Word of God. And I don't care how much money you get. I told one lady, listen, you tell me how much money you gave. The church is not going to give you your money back, but I will. I'll pay you every penny that you tell me that you've ever put in the plate. I started to say, if you promise never to come back. But it's not for sale. The precious ordinance of baptism and the Lord's Supper, just not for sale. He said, I've kept the faith. God wants you to keep the faith. God wants you to take a stand. Fight the good fight. Finish your course. Keep the faith. I would recommend you either believe God with everything you've got or else you don't believe it at all. Believe the Word of God, every bit of it, or reject all of it. There is no logical standing place between, well, maybe some of it's true, maybe some of it's not. No, it's either all true or it's none of it true. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it's all true. And it's all good. And it's all of God. Don't be satisfied with anything less than a strong faith. Something that is a divine revelation from Almighty God. Listen, a faith that just kind of piddles around with it is a poor faith at best. And listen, the fight is good. To finish your course is good. And your faith is good. All because it's from God. You know, it's heartening to be able to look back and have no regrets. Paul wasn't always popular. Usually, he was in a very uncomfortable situation, but he remained faithful. And that's what really counts, isn't it? Will your example be an encouragement to those coming behind you? Hey, I've got one last point. I call it the icing on the cake. Look with me in verse number 8. Very quickly. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. After he said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. Then he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. If you love, if you're looking for and longing for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, say amen this morning.
Amen.
Amen. It might be sooner than a lot of people expect. Yeah. That's the icing on the cake. Fight the good fight. Finish your course. Keep the faith. And there'll be a crown of righteousness given to you by the righteous judge, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for loving His appearing, for His soon coming. When that heaven opens, the dead in Christ begin to rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But until then, fight a good fight. Finish your course. Keep the faith. And your example will be an encouragement to somebody coming behind you. Stand with me, would you please? Every head bowed, every eye closed.